Join us in being part of the legacy.
Sir, I will live with perseverance in the spirit of Taekwondo. Courtesy for fellow students. Integrity within myself. And to become a black belt leader. Welcome to the ATA Nation Podcast.
Welcome back to the ATA Nation Podcast. This is episode 43. My name is Senior Master Zach Hayden, and I am your host for this awesome podcast. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for being part of ATA Nation. As you might have heard, we are doing a series on the Legacy Program and instructors and students who have gone through the Legacy Program and are now working as instructors or helping as instructors or have gone and used this information in other ways in their life. We've got another great interview for you today. But before that, I just wanted to kind of lay out a little bit what the instructor or excuse me, the Legacy Program is if you haven't heard of it. If you haven't heard of it, definitely talk to your instructor, talk to your training partners maybe and see, hey, what's this legacy thing? It's all based around structure, emotion, knowledge, and legacy. These four key pillars of helping a student grow into, you know, instructor, someone who can help carry on the legacy of Songnam Taekwondo, the life skills we learn, all of the training, and pass that on. Be part of a legacy that has gone for over 50 years. It starts with, you know, knowledge, making sure that we understand the martial arts. It's one of the key parts. We have to get really good at our martial arts skills. But then we also have to understand structure. Martial arts is all about structure, making sure that we have a class, organize things that are in a structured, disciplined way. And that's not just something we need in martial arts. That's something we need everywhere. Structure is an important part of life and leadership. We need to make sure that we understand the role of emotion and how having the emotion, the proper emotion, can influence others, can change other people's lives, can help someone else learn even better by making sure that they're right emotional state, making sure that we are passing along this information in an exciting way. I tell my students in Legacy, you don't want to be like the guy Ben Stein from Ferris Bueller. Bueller. No one's learning anything in that class. You've got to engage them emotionally as well. And then finally is the legacy. This is the life skills that we teach as part of martial arts, just life skills that are so important in becoming leaders in life. These are all key parts of the Legacy Program and help us train our students and instructors to be just the best out there. So if you are interested in the Legacy Program, make sure that you talk to your instructor and be like, hey, this sounds really great. I would really like to know more about this because I'm sure they'd love to share it with you. I have another interview for you today. I noticed I was just re-listening a little bit. Great information, but I noticed, man, I'm going to have to do a push-up every time I say the word That okay, there's your challenge for today. While you're listening to the podcast, do a push-up for every time I say, which I just did. I apologize. I'm going to work on it. It's a challenge. But we are here to rise to the occasion and meet those challenges. That's what legacy students do. That's what leaders do. So let's get over to our special guest.
Special guest interview.
ATA Nation, we have with us a legacy member, someone who has trained hard to be a great instructor, Miss Liana Royce. And ma'am, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How about you, sir?
Wonderful. You are down in Phoenix, Arizona. How's the weather there?
It is pretty nice right now.
You guys didn't get any of that snow everywhere else in the country, did you?
Nope, we don't get snow.
That's what I thought. Yeah, only up in the mountains and stuff. So it's always beautiful in Phoenix. So, ma'am, we are kind of doing a series on people who've become instructors, gone through the Legacy Program. I got some good tips from some people that you are pretty awesome. So can we let's start with how'd you get into martial arts?
When I was little, my grandma saw one of the ATA studios and told my mom, hey, you should sign up, like Kyle, my older brother. And so my mom signed him up. He was training for a little bit. And then a little bit later, they asked, do you guys want to do it too? And I said, yes, of course, because I can do anything my older brother can do. So that's how I got started. And I started with my sister and my mom. So we all did it together.
Nice. Are any of them still practicing?
Not currently. My mom does volunteer for the data entry team. So she's done that at regional, nationals, worlds. She volunteers everywhere.
Awesome. So still actively involved in the organization.
Whenever she can be.
That's pretty cool. So what can you tell us a little bit about your journey to becoming an instructor, the Legacy Program? What kind of prompted you from going from being just like, hey, I'm a student, I'm kicking things, I'm doing stuff, to like, hey, I'd like to maybe help people learn this?
I liked helping people. That's always who I was. My brother was also in the instructor program. I started very young. When I was like 7, I joined. I was a JTI. Mm-hmm. My grandma always liked to tell the story. She told the story at my black collar ceremony about me running out of the house. And she's like, where are you going? And I was like, Grandma, I'm a junior constructor. I gotta go. So that's always been something that I've wanted to do. I was always looking at the next level up, and I'm like, I want to be that.
That's very cool. And so you started that program really young. What are you up to now? What are you doing? Are you teaching full time? You teaching part time? You coming in and just beating kids every once in a while? What's going on?
So I'm the director at Inspiration Kids in Glendale. I get to teach sometimes, like when somebody calls off for a day, or sometimes I'll step in and teach a class. I teach our recommended black belts, going to black belt right now. That's a fun group, because I did move to Chicago and to Washington for a little bit. So those guys are kids that started with me initially when I was full-time on the floor, pretty much.
Oh.
So coming back and getting to work with the same kids and getting them to black belt is really cool.
That I'm sure that's very, very rewarding to get to do the red black belt class. What is one of your biggest challenges when you were on the floor full-time, or even now? What's one of your biggest challenges in teaching?
Biggest challenges in teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Stopping myself from talking too long about what I'm instructing.
I totally understand that. It's you know what I blame it on is we have such a passion for conveying this information that sometimes we just gotta, like, I just gotta get it out. I just gotta tell everybody about it.
Yes. And you know everything at this point. Well, not everything, but you feel like you know everything at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you're trying to tell them everything, and then you look up and you're like, I should probably move on.
Yeah, exactly. I understand that. What, when you were working on becoming an instructor, what was one of the things that was challenging for you to do? Was there anything specifically that you had trouble with, or was it all like, hey, I got this?
Well, in my original school, we didn't, like, my younger sister and I, at least, we weren't in the upper levels of Legacy yet, and we weren't told to practice all of the forms. We just practiced the one that we were working on. So, excuse me, when I transferred over to Master Mrs. Rueckert's school, after my instructor retired, that was Master Kathy Lee, or mm-hmm. Kathy Young, I'm sorry. When I transferred over, I had to relearn all of those forms. And that was a lot. I was like 15 or 16. I think I was like 16. Because the way things lined up, I was able to get my collar in, my black collar in just over a year. So I had to go from a JTI collar to a black collar. So that was a rough process. And it took me a minute, but I got there. I learned all the stuff. And I jumped up and got in line with all the rest of them.
That's awesome. Yeah, that is a challenge to get through all that old material and make sure, you know, you're going through it. You're learning it all, keeping it fresh in your head. I have one of our insiders was asking some questions about tigers. Did you have experience teaching tigers?
Yes, I love tiger classes. They were one of my favorites because, you know, you never know what they're going to say. So it's always interesting. They're just like real tigers. If you turn around, you should be worried.
That is very true. What's a tip that you might have? What would you suggest if somebody's having some challenges with tigers? Anything you suggest that they do specifically?
Keep things moving. Keep switching their focus. And have fun, be kind of silly. Like, you can't be completely silly or you'll lose them. Mm-hmm. But it's okay to make jokes or be a little goofy or change your voice, pretend to be Batman. Like,
yes, ma'am.
Whatever comes up and keeps their attention.
Yes, ma'am. For sure. That's a great tip. And what about, I asked you what the most challenging thing, what was the most fun thing for you in the instruction process? What did you really enjoy learning about when you were learning to instruct, or even just on the floor? What's your favorite thing to do?
In the instruction process, I like doing all of the camps, like the instructor camps, the training camps, the seminars, all of that stuff. It's really fun getting to work with your extended ATA family and getting the opportunity to learn all of that new stuff or to just add on stuff to what you already know.
Yes, ma'am. I have another question from one of our insiders that was curious. Have you ever... one of our last guests, he started when he was younger, took a break, came back with his kids later on. Have you ever had a break from your training? And if so, what brought you back? Or if not, what's kept you motivated the whole time?
I did for a little bit when I was in Washington. I went to a school up there and I just couldn't make it in as much because of my job. So I did train a little bit at home. I had a heavy bag, but it wasn't my main focus at the moment. It was kind of me taking a break because I had been teaching since I was allowed to teach. But when I talked to my school owner, she called me up and she's like, "Hey, you want to come back to work for me?" So after she did that a couple of times, I was like, you know what? I will. Like, this is one of the most fun jobs you could have. You don't get disrespectful people in the school. Like, every once in a while, you'll get somebody who's having a bad day or who's about to leave the program, but it's their deal. But for the most part, people are super happy, super nice. You get parents that'll be like, "Hey, do you want anything from Starbucks?" And you're like, "Yes." The kids look up to you. You get drawings from them. You can kick people. They bow to you and ask you to do it again. So this is one of the coolest jobs that you could have. It's a family environment. It's super fun. So I don't know why I wouldn't say yes to coming back.
And you said you're the director currently. Is that are you doing that full-time, part-time? Do you have another gig as well?
I am doing that full time because awesome. We're also doing after school summer camp. So we got a lot going on.
Lots going on. Yes, ma'am. So tell us a little bit about as you've transitioned from more time on the floor originally to the director job. What's your director job look like? What do you really enjoy about that position?
Well, we have some new people that we brought on and some younger teenagers that are in an internship with us and everything. So it's making sure that everybody knows how to do what they're doing. They're keeping on task. They're keeping focused as well as dealing with any issues or any, questions from anyone, which I like answering questions and talking to people. So that's no problem for me. As well as doing the signups, but I love doing first lessons with people and getting them really excited to go back onto the floor, or getting the older kids doing a tour and getting them straight onto the floor, getting them super pumped up. So it's all stuff that I like to do and that I like gradually learned, because even before I left Arizona, I was starting to step into that role. And so it's fun stuff. It's stuff that I like doing. I like all aspects of my job.
That's great. I mean, and what a great opportunity to just, you get to, you know, do what you love, get to kick and punch. You get to, change people's lives by helping them enroll into martial arts programs. So that is, sounds like a great opportunity. Let's see. I have one more question I had somebody ask. Let's go down. I love this one. Who was one of your most influential instructors or training partners, or, you know, somebody who really made a difference for you as you were coming up through the program? That's a tough one, I know.
Yes. I would say my mom and Mrs. Rucker, Sharon Rucker. Neither of them would let me quit on anything.
That's awesome. And I'm guessing at this point, you're pretty glad they didn't let you.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. Last question for you real quick. Do you have any suggestions? Let's say if somebody's coming to you, they're like, hey, I've thought about maybe doing this instruction thing, but I'm just not sure. What do you think I should do? What would you tell somebody like that who's maybe interested, but they're just not sure if it's the right thing for them?
Go for it, because even if you don't end up like working as an instructor in a school, this goes towards anything. I've had other jobs, like I've worked at Target, I've worked at Amazon, and I've been promoted over people that have been there for a long time because of all of the stuff I've learned in this program, the leadership skills, how to talk to people, how to work with people, how to teach people. So this not only applies to on the floor, but like you can tell the difference. People are surprised when I shake their hand and look them in the eye because most people my age don't have the same confidence or the same strong handshake, or they don't know how to communicate effectively or have that professionalism.
Yes, ma'am. What a great testimony for the program. Last episode, we had a gentleman on who was a school administrator talking about the Legacy program and how much it teaches. So it's just great to hear people from different walks of life sharing how the program is helped them, whether they become an instructor or go out into the workforce in another way. Ma'am, keep up the great work. I'm sure we'll see you in Arizona when World Championships comes back around. Anything else you need or you'd like to say to ATA Nation out there?
Keep kicking, guys.
Awesome. Well, thank you, ma'am, for your time today. We really appreciate it. And make sure you're out there, enrolling those students, getting them pumped about classes.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Welcome back. Great interview. Thank you, ma'am, for that information. It is so cool to hear the different paths that people have taken through their Legacy training. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. What a great privilege I have to speak with you each week. We've got another awesome interview next week about legacy. If you have any questions, please, please reach out. Join us as an insider. All you have to do is send me a text message, 260-250-3975. I am taking suggestions for a theme, a topic for next month. What would you like to hear more about? Maybe some specific people you would like to hear interviewed on the show. I'd love to hear what information you want to know from the ATA Nation podcast. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you're out there taking action.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the ATA Nation podcast. Be sure to subscribe and share with your ATA family.
I just booked my flight and hotel for Nationals. Pretty excited to get to train with the new color belt weapons curriculum. That's going to be fun. Want to do some other cool stuff. I haven't decided all the seminars I want to take yet. I'm always like, they're all over. They're the same time. I can't take all of them. I have a little FOMO when it comes to that. Okay, guys, have a great week.